Okay, now the topic, implementation and sustainability, I'm not going to kid anyone, I don't bugger all about implementation, but I do know a bit about sustainability, particularly given the Western Australian CTP scheme. It's probably seen in the context of this group today as a bit of a dinosaur scheme, but it's run very well for a very long time. When you look at sustainability, what does it mean? Well, to me, it means, is the scheme fully funded? Most importantly, are the premiums affordable? And secondly, or thirdly, reasonable and necessary benefits paid in a timely manner. So if we look at the WA scheme, I think we tick all those boxes. We're a fully funded scheme, 142% solvency. I've just got one graph there. Shows that we've had really flat premiums, the lowest premiums in Australia now for about 17 years on the trot. Affordability index-wise, 14.8%. That's expressed as premium for a private use sedan as a percentage of WA average weekly earnings. We did put caps and thresholds in back in 1993. Currently, pain and suffering's capped at $379,000, and you've got to get over $19,000 to get into the game. And economic losses capped at 3 times average weekly earnings. So there's been very little legislative change in the WA scheme, and I think that's a good thing. It has been a good thing for us. It's meant that we've also been able to maintain stability. We're blessed in WA by the fact that we're the only game in town. We don't lose people to competing organisations. So if you're a CTP claims person in WA, that's probably where you're going to stay if you want to work in that industry. Average claims officer length of experience in WA is 16 years. We've got oodles of people with over 30 years' experience. We've got a panel of defence lawyers, some of them who have been working for us for over 25 years. So they know and understand the scheme. The plaintiff lawyers know how our scheme operates, and WA is not such a big place when it comes to that, so I think that's how it works quite nicely for us. The other thing that we've had is systems. We've been innovators as far as systems go. So again, for sustainability, you've got to have good systems. We've had workflow and imaging technology in since 2001. I think we were a very early adapter for that. And in 2009, we implemented online crash reporting, which I think is the only jurisdiction in the world that's got that available. So when someone has a crash, they report it once online. That satisfies the police requirements, our requirements, and gets us in contact with the claimant very early on. And we get good outcomes out of that. We've also had very stable management and board of commissioners as far as our executive team goes. So what that means is when you do run into a rough trot like we did a couple of years ago with low bond rates and the like, you don't hit the panic button. Looking from WA across to our friends on the Eastern Seaboard, we seem to think that quite often legislation changes go through and you don't give it time enough to see if it actually worked or not. All of a sudden you've flicked another switch. So, to my mind, the secret is to let things run their course for a little while. So, I would suggest that for the last umpteen years, WACTP scheme's been running very well. Then along comes this thing called the NIIS. Most people in WA have got no idea what their CTP is now. They don't understand that it's a fault-based scheme because we've got 2 million vehicles, similar to what Andrew was talking about. We get 3,500 claims a year, so to most people, it's just a service that they don't never use. We've had the actuaries do some work on what it would likely to cost for us to go to an NIIS type scheme, and this is where the kicker is in WA. Currently, the premium for a private sedan is around $230, excluding GST. It's estimated to pick up no fault, catastrophic injuries, it'd be somewhere between $87 to $100. So that's going to be a big economic kick for someone to be able to fund that. When I look at this audience, I'd say that's loose change. But for people living on the outskirts of Perth who have got 2 cars in the garage, it's a pretty big impost. So getting back to Jeff Atkins' comments of the session earlier today, that's where the rubber's really going to hit the road to see if people are prepared to do that. The other issue around that is we worked out or estimate that we'll probably pick up 27 at-fault catastrophic people a year. So if you work that back and you're going to go to the public and say, we want somewhere between $80 to $100 off you to pick up 27 people who currently aren't compensated, is that good value for money? And that's the plan in WA now is to go and put a green paper out, probably early in the new year, and just judge what the community's views are on it. because currently 44 people get catastrophically injured who can prove fault. So all up, 71 people is estimated, 27 who didn't have a ticket to get into the game before will get a ticket. So that brings questions of what can we do to try and reduce that $87 to $100? What can we do to the existing scheme to reduce that cost? Probably not that much, other than to try and do some lawyer bashing, but I don't think that's necessarily a good idea. Then we look at implementation issues. In WA, we'd have a big problem finding employees with a skill set to work through this lifetime care and support. Our skill set's about getting the claim in, giving someone a pot of money and saying, see you later. That's what we've got, and we've got that in spades, but we don't have much skill set around lifetime care. Sourcing service providers to cover a state the size of WA is going to be an issue. People who live up in the Pilbara and the Kimberley, if you've got a head cold and you want to see a doctor, good luck, because the doctor will be there in 2 weeks' time. So how are we going to provide care to someone on the lifetime care scheme is a huge challenge. Another question that I've got for the audience is this insurance, is the NIIS insurance or is it social welfare? And the reason I ask that question is a number of the schemes who have gone down this line or are about to go down this line, I notice they don't pay GST and that it's clearly not being treated as insurance because they say that they're calling people participants. So it's a bit of a misnomer, I think, to call it an insurance scheme. I don't believe it is. And should there be any exclusions for illegal acts is another thing that WA is considering introducing if we do go down this line. And if, as I said in my session on the first day, if we look at South Australia, they're in a perfect situation to be able to introduce NIIS because they've been able to reduce their premiums by introducing caps and thresholds. So the motorists over there go, this is pretty good, you've given me a lower premium. And then they introduce NIIS from July next year and they'll look really good and good luck to them. It's a great story to be able to tell, but our success is going to be our Achilles heel in so far as we've been able to keep our premiums so low. So some of the other things that our organisation's been thinking about on threats to sustainability when you do go down the NIIS is medical advances. I think that's a huge issue around affordability, because if someone finds a way to get someone the use of a hand who didn't have a use of a hand and they've got to go to the US or somewhere to have it done, is that reasonable and is it necessary? I'd like to find someone to tell me it's not reasonable and it's not necessary, and who's going to, at the end of the day, who is going to pay? And cost of delivering care in a market where there is an undersupply. There's already a problem with the ageing population, and in the local newspaper in Perth on Sunday, the headline was TAFE fees for a Certificate 4 in disability. The cost of someone going and getting that qualification was going to increase from $626 to $2,744 in 2014, doubling by 2017. Similar increases for aged care and health service students going to increase by 368%. To me, it's mind-numbing, because here's a group of people we need to be encouraging and getting more and more people able to provide this care, and yet it seems the government in WA is hell-bent on making it more difficult. So the WA government is yet to decide whether they're going to proceed down the NIIS. My view is that it is inevitable that it will, but it's going to be a hard sell. That's it from me. Thank you.